Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpvc.org.
Conversation with one of my children the other day. I like to read the Old Testament. At one point in my ministry, that was about all I spoke on, was the Old Testament pointing to Christ. But it was mentioned to me as much as I love the book of Leviticus, and we talked about that a bit. And I've always wanted to use this text in Leviticus 25, and I think I'll get there in a moment. I'm going to start in Exodus 20 as it hits my mind. The things in the Old Testament that point to Christ, and the very law itself that God gave to Moses. And I do ask for your prayers. In Exodus 20, we're going to refer back to the creation of the world. But the time and the context is when God had called Moses up upon Mount Sinai and given unto him the law. And we know the law was given in a context, speaking of, that was our schoolmaster and brought us to Christ. It teaches us the perfectness of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God, and all of that is in Christ. The law, which we is just and holy, which we could not, being sinners, keep, and would not, because we were sinners and would not keep it nor have it, because our nature was in rebellion to God through fallen man. But in Exodus, God had told them, if you do these things, I'll make you a holy priesthood, a royal nation, a peculiar people unto myself. Chapter 20, as God is giving the first, as we call them, Ten Commandments, and there are many more ordinances, but the Ten Commandments, and bear in mind, all of these point to Christ. We find in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. If we turn to Genesis chapter 1, we begin to see the creation that God created. And I've mentioned this before, and we'll mention it briefly again. Now God have created, could have. He has the power to. Let me say it that way. He has the wisdom that he could have spoken, and everything would have been created at one time. But God created things in steps and phases, and I'm not here to dwell on creation, but I do not believe that these were ages that were thousands of years long. God created a 24-hour day. God has not changed. I do not believe time has changed, and it is the same then as it is now. God created the earth in one day, and Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created the world in 6 days. God created the world in six, I'll use the word steps or phases, that we as God's children might be able to know and understand the wisdom of God in Christ, the power of God in Christ, the glory of God, and therefore see. And in this day and age of the New Testament, walking by faith, see and know and understand and have knowledge of Christ, who is God manifest. Everything in this Bible is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Everything in creation is about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is all for Him. It is all by Him for His glory, for God loved Him before the foundation of the world. Now, God created everything in 6 days, and God rested from His labor. The last thing God created was man. He created him from the dust of the ground, breathed the breath of life into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And then the icing on the cake, I like to say, God created the woman from the body of the man and brought both together and created the family. And God's work in creation was finished. There's been nothing created since that time. It was finished. God did not rest because he was tired. God did not rest because he could go no further. God did not rest because he didn't know what else to do. God is a God of purpose. God is a God of power and a God of all wisdom. And the purpose of God in creation was completed in 6 days. The last creature created being the woman made from the body of the man. And on the seventh day, God rested. This was given in the law to Moses as an example of the rest that God gave them in the law on the Jewish Sabbath, which, by the way, was the seventh day of the week, and it still is Saturday. When they came forth out of Egypt, they murmured because they were hungry. Their human nature sought to go back into bondage in Egypt, from whence God had by his mighty hand delivered them with great riches, brought them out. And immediately, which is our nature, they turned in hunger, murmured against God, murmured against Moses, murmured against Aaron, desiring to go back to the garlics and the leeks and the onions and the flesh pots that they had to fill their fleshly guts in Egypt. And God told Moses, I will give you manna. Bible calls it angel food, which is teaching us in the New Testament church of angel food. Of manna, of food that angels feed you, messengers of God, God called ministers, not church called, not seminary called, but God called ministers, feed you by the power of God, by the grace of God, for the purpose of God, that your soul will be fed while you walk in this dark, dreary world whereby we live and pass through and sojourn at this present time. Because God will not leave you comfortless. God will not leave you without nutrition for your soul. God feeds you. God told Moses, he said, you go out and gather an omer every day. If you get any more, it's going to rot. You can't store it up. For you see, God was going to teach them and teach us by their example that this God of creation is a providential God. He cares for his people. He will never leave them. He will never forsake them. He provides everything they need in this life. That's why we're told, and I mentioned this yesterday, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things which we need will be provided. The most important thing in our life should be the kingdom of God. Our life should be centered around the worship of God. That is why we are created. God manifests his love and his power and his wisdom and his purpose in Jesus Christ. And we gather around Christ to worship as they gathered around the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. God told them, he said, I'll give you this manna 5 days a week. You get an omer. And it was white. It was angel food. It was like the hoarfrost of the ground. I don't think it was very big. Do you ever think about that? God feeds you a little bit at a time. What did he say in Isaiah? Here little, there little, here line, there line, precept upon precept, line upon line, that God feeds his people. knowledge of Christ. We cannot withstand the fullness of it. God said, I'm going to give it to you 5 days a week. But on the sixth day of the week, on our calendar, that's Friday, but it's the sixth day of the week regardless. On the sixth day of the week, I'm going to give you twice as much. And you will gather twice as much. And the reason being is because the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, Saturday on our calendar, is a day of rest. As I rested from my works on the seventh day, God wasn't tired. God didn't have to rest. His work was complete. He is teaching us that as His work is complete and finished, His purpose is sure and steadfast. His promises are sure and steadfast. His providence is in our lives. His grace, His mercy in our lives. It's all in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. He's teaching us that He will always be with us, that He will never leave us nor forsake us, that He will always provide for His people, for whatever we need that pertains unto life and godliness. The seventh day is a day of rest. It was given as a day of rest. They were to keep the Sabbath. This is a commandment of God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I want to make a point with that. It's all pointing to Jesus Christ. Matthew 11, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor. The natural man does not labor. The natural man, again, receiveth not the things of God. A born-again child of God, born of the Spirit of God, by God's power, God's wisdom, God's might, at God's time, for the Son of Man quickeneth whom He will, labors. He may not even realize he's laboring, but he battles against the forces of evil of the flesh by the Spirit of God which is within him. And God provides a way to do that. But God rested. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your souls. When the Lord sent them into Babylonian captivity, when they came out, between the prophet Malachi, the last of the Old Testament prophets, until the last prophet, John the Baptist, came from the Levitical priesthood in the spirit of Elijah, there was no word. There was no prophets. There were no seers. There was no teaching. Of course, man in his nature wrote and declared and said things. The Jews had put so many rules and stipulations upon the Sabbath and keeping it holy that when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in the world, He condemned their very teachings. If you remember, they would condemn Him for healing one and having compassion and mercy on people on the Sabbath. Now, it all points to Christ. That's why the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for yourselves. He tells us in Hebrews chapter 3 that the people of Israel entered not into His rest, and we see that in the Gospels, because they were led astray by their leaders, they who entered not in, and refused those who were, forbid those who were entering in to enter, because of the hardness of their hearts. They entered not into that rest. Chapter 4, speaking of the rest, and this is not my text, this is to get there because I want to talk about another Sabbath. But he says in Hebrews 4, he speaks in a certain place of the seventh day in chapter 4, verse 4, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works, and talking about them not entering into His works. And he limited the certain day, verse 7, saying, and David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Well, the Bible teaches us in chapter 3, I believe it may be 4, that what they had was not mixed with faith because many of them were unspiritual Israel. They were of the nation of Israel, but not born again children of God. Now listen, get to my point and move on. He says in verse 9, speaking of Christ, he said in verse 8, for if Jesus, that means Joshua, that's the Hebrew word Joshua in the Old Testament, the Ephraimite who came with Moses, and when the Lord took Moses, Joshua led them into the promised land. The law doesn't get you into the promised land, grace does. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said in John 8 about chapter 32 and 33 that the truth shall make you free. And then he says the Son of God is the truth, and if the Son sets you free, ye are free indeed. Now we'll get to that in a moment, some of it I hope, if the Lord will bless. But he says, if Joshua, Jesus, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? It was teaching us of Christ. It was a type of Christ. And then he said in verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Back to Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Why do ye labor? Because the Spirit of God is within you and are heavy laden. Why are you heavy laden? Because you carried the yoke of sin, the law of sin and death. You carried the yoke of bondage, of sin, and to sin in the nature of Adam. We were slaves to our nature. Could not recover, could not free ourselves, could not redeem ourselves. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is not the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, begging for a man dead in sin, as dead as those in the grave across the highway, to come unto him. They're dead, they're unable. It is a commandment of the Lord for his people to come unto him. And that they will do. And those that come unto him have a rest. That rest is in Christ. Now, that's the purpose of the Sabbath. And before I leave this part of the text, let me finish a thought. 6 days God created the heaven and earth. 7th day God rested. Very briefly, Lord, let me make sense of this. There was not 7 people on the ark when God flooded the earth. There were 8. Peter calls them the 8 souls of the promised seed. Those that God promised. They're a type of the church. A very few of the people upon the face of the earth that God preserved. But to bring this to a close with this part, again, the Sabbath was on Saturday, the last day of the week. If you look at the calendar and you go to 1 Corinthians, I believe chapter 6, but anyway, it's in Paul's writings. He said, lay aside on the first day of the week your gift to the church. Now, I don't care about the gift to the church, but I'm talking about the first day of the week. Because 6 days men work. 6 days of the week. The 7th day, the Saturday, was the Sabbath under the law. The law has been fulfilled. If you look on the calendar, you see Sunday, the 8th day, if you please. Like those 8 souls of the promised seed. You see the first day of the week that is set aside in Scripture by I do declare unto you the Spirit of God, the Sunday, the first day of the week, the day that Christ rose from the grave, it's the Lord's day. That's when we worship. We have a new beginning. We have a rest. We have a rest in Christ, a rest in the gospel, the knowledge of Christ, the finished work of the Son of God. Now, let's go to another Sabbath. Turn with me, if you will, to chapter 25 of the book of Leviticus. Lord, help me. There's so much here. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, said, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, see, this is referring back to Sinai, the giving of the law. When you come into the land which I give you, the land he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Canaan, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. We have a Sabbath for us. Jesus said, man is not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is made for man. This rest is a gift from God. To serve God is a gift from God. To worship God is a gift from God. The Sabbath, our rest, is given to us by the grace of God, by the love of God. It's a gift of God that we might have comfort and peace and nutrition. I'm talking about the bread of life, manna from heaven, angel food, the preached word of Jesus Christ, which feeds our soul. Again, the natural man receiveth not the things of God. That's no excuse not to preach. But that is teaching us that God gives you life. You begin to turn from the things of the world. God turns you to himself, and God gives you a rest because he loves you. Now this is a different rest, but the same. When you come to the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. This is the land. What land is he speaking of? The land of Canaan, the kingdom of God in that day under the law with the physical nation of Israel. We are the spiritual nation of Israel. We are the Gentile church. Our rest in Christ is spiritual. Theirs in the physical land was physical. Oh, there were some spiritual rest to those that were God's children also. Yes, there was. They were to teach the word of God on the Sabbath, and they were to rest. Now, 6 years shalt thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. The land. Their land would lie dormant that year. There would be no tilling of the ground. There would be no breaking up. There would be no planting. Listen to the reasons. God would give the land rest. Listen to the type and consider the anti-type. As the land would have rest, the physical land, the spiritual land, the church today has rest in Christ. Rest from all the death around us. Rest from laboring and fighting against the forces of darkness in high places. The powers of darkness. God gives us a rest from that in the church. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. Go farther. That which groweth of its own accord, you've planted it 6 years, the seventh year is going to come forth without you planting. Do you see God teaching them his providence in their lives? Do you see God teaching them his providence in their church? There's a reason the Bible says the Lord added daily such as should be saved. Now, if we sought the kingdom of God first, the Lord would add more. And I do believe the Bible teaches that and can prove that to you. But nonetheless, the land and the year it lay dormant, the seventh year, the year when the land rested, would bring forth. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you. nutrition for them to eat, manna for us today. For thee, and this is precious, we are in, by our nature, bondage to sin and Satan. This meat is for you, this rest is for you, today's time, and for thy servant. We were servants in the land of Israel. God alone delivered us. Christ alone delivered us and delivers us daily. And for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, the wild creatures. I told Daddy the other day, look at my muscadine vine. I hadn't got any in 2 years because the deer eat them all. And somebody won't let me shoot them. But nonetheless, it was for the wild beast. For thy cattle and for the beasts that are in thy land shall all the increase thereof be meat. God provides for his people. Now there's agricultural reasons to let the land rest and rotate crops and all these things, and I'm not getting into that, but I'm going to tell you this was a Sabbath of rest for the land, and in that rest for the land, showing us the church today, there's salvation to those who were servants to the law of sin and death. There is salvation for the strangers, the Gentiles, who were not of Israel, but were in the land of Israel. We're not of the physical lineage of Israel, but we're in the land of spiritual Israel. For servants, for maids, and for your cattle. Do you remember Jonah when God told him there are much people there and cattle? God is merciful. God provides. And even for the beasts that are in thy land. Well, why in the world is it bringing up creatures that are wild? If I get to Isaiah 61, I'm going to mention the meek. But I want you to just think about this, and let me say it before I forget it, because my mind is flesh and feeble. Jesus said in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And meek portrays gentleness, patience, mercy. I've heard people preach that we've got to be meek, and as if, and we do need to be. And God makes us that way. Even though our nature does flare up from time to time, speaking of myself. But the text and the word meek tends to a wild beast who has been domesticated and is now bowing to the hand of their master. That teaches us in a type that as we were as the beasts of the earth, while by nature far from God, separated from God, knowing not God, hating God by our own nature, that God hath as take a wild ass and domesticate it, and it yields to its master, so it is with us and God. We're meek because the Spirit of God is within us and loves us and teaches us and guides us and comforts us and all that's necessary. And it's all in Christ. That's why I said, blessed are the meek. Now, finishing up with this part. Verse 8, a new text. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times, I got to move, 7 times 7 years. That is 49 years of Sabbaths. Not weekly Sabbaths of rest. Not just the Sabbath in the seventh month, which was the Day of Atonement. About the 10th day, if memory serves me correctly. But 49 years of 7 times 7 of this Sabbath of rest for the land. And on the 50th year, Thou shalt cause the trumpet. This was a musical instrument. That's why it's called Jubilee. This was the ram's horn, which would be sounded to proclaim the atonement, to declare freedom to the slaves. Why were they slaves? It wasn't freedom to the world's slaves. It was freedom to God's people who were enslaved. I've heard people say, well, the Bible approves slavery. God forbid. If you love your brother, you do not approve slavery. Period. If you love Jesus, you don't approve slavery. Period. Don't hand me that. But Hebrews could not pay bills. They were sold into bondage. Hebrews that committed a crime not worthy of death, many times sold into bondage. Okay? Jubilee, the sound on the 10th day of the... There it is, Jubilee. The 10th day of the 7th month, and the day of atonement, shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, not the world, but the kingdom of God. Stop and think. What do we preach today? Christ redeemed you. Christ freed you from the law of sin and death. That's what we preach. Christ and Him crucified. There's no glory to a man. There's no glory to the church. All of that is imputed in the Son of God. But you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land. Freedom, liberty throughout all the land, unto all the inhabitants thereof, it shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. You shall not sow, neither reap that which is grown of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is the jubilee. Liberty, freedom, it shall be holy unto you. You shall eat the increase there out of the field. It is the year of this jubilee. You shall return every man unto his possession. Let me bring this up and sum it up very briefly and move forward. On the Sabbath of Jubilee, remember, seven is complete with God. We're completely free. Remember, seven is a period of rest with God. We have a rest in Christ as individuals and in the land, which is teaching us of the rest in the church of God, in the church of Jesus Christ, for it is His church. 49 years, seven Sabbaths. Now, before I move on over to Luke chapter 4, I want to stop for just a moment, if the Lord is willing, in Daniel chapter 9, because I want to show you something very beautiful there to my eyes, if God will give me grace to give it to you. This was a time that God's people were in bondage of Babylon because 70 years of desolation because of the sins of their leaders and because the children of God had gone astray and rebelled against God. God sent them into bondage for 70 years. God was prophesying of a time down the road. He said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. That is the 70 years of the bondage of desolation. They had no worship. Their personal, their national liberty and freedom taken away. They had no religious liberty in the sense of assembled worship because Nebuchadnezzar had taken it all away and taken the things of God, the vessels of God, away and into the houses of his gods. Men try to do that today, but in chapter 23, well, let me go on down, to 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, that's Daniel 9:24, and upon thy holy city, that's Jerusalem, to finish the transgression. To finish the transgression. That payment of punishment was due and would be fulfilled, that God would send upon them in the 70 years in captivity. And upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Remember going through Ezra, Nehemiah, the books we went through last year, speaking of how God would move Cyrus and the temple would be rebuilt. That would come to an end. That transgression. But let me say this, lest I pass it up in a moment. There were going to be a period of time of 490 years from the time that Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem. Matter of fact, Scripture says, since the time that God delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. 490. 49 is 7 times 7. That's 49. What is 49 times 10? 490. Bear that in mind. Let me be simple. When they had their worship restored, and the city was rebuilt, this ought to strike fear in everyone's heart that is a child of God today who abandons the church. When they returned after God rebuilding and blessing, they began to go right back where they were in their own state of nature, worshiping man, exalting man, bringing God down to the level of man and man up equal to or above God, and coveting the things of the temple and the things of the world. And they paid for that 10 times over. That's why we have 490 years. Between the commandment went forth to the time of Christ. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And 400 of those years between Malachi and John the Baptist, there was not a word uttered from a prophet. That's why either in Zechariah or Zephaniah, he said, when there is no vision, the people perish, because God had not given them a vision. And let me say this while it's on in my mind. In the fullness of the time, God sent His Son into the world to redeem them that were under the law. When the time could get no darker, when the 490 years expired, when the punishment was finished, and it would not be finished until sometime in 70 AD when the temple of God was destroyed by Titus of Rome completely. But God sent forth His Son. It was the year of Jubilee. It was the year of atonement. Not the type, but fulfilled, when Christ was crucified upon the cross of Calvary. Now, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, for Christ cleansed you from your sin. They're behind the back of God. He sees them no more. Blood cleansed you. And to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness. How? In thee, Lord, our righteousness, the branch of God, Jesus Christ, God, manifest in the flesh. And to seal up the vision, to bring it to fulfillment, and prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. I need to move. Let me dwell on this. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, there's Cyrus, unto the Messiah, the anointed of God, Jesus Christ, Savior anointed, the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. He laid his life down, but not for himself, for the children of God and the people of the Prince that shall come, Titus and Rome, by influence of Satan. And God suffering it to be, because those that said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children, were thoroughly, thoroughly destroyed. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. That's the flood of the Jews leaving for the elect of God among the Jews. That's why it said, for the elect's sake, those days would be shortened. But those who Christ had warned, when you see Jerusalem compassed with armies to flee the city, that's the flood of them leaving. The end of the war, desolations are determined. I want to read this next one to get 2A. The war we fight, desolations determined among them, Jews, Israel, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, 33 and a half years, in the midst of the last year, Christ laid down his life for his people. The Messiah. The year of Jubilee. Not a type, but the fulfillment. Luke chapter 4. Jesus had been tempted of Satan. He's led of the Spirit unto the wilderness, and he was full of the Holy Ghost. We can't be full of the Holy Ghost. We're sinners. We'd be consumed. We cannot withstand it in this body of flesh. Christ was without sin. No inherited sin, no committed sin. Being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, being 40 days, tempted the devil. In those days he ate nothing when they were ended, and afterward he hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, that's not where I want to go. Why did I start at the beginning? Okay, let me go to verse 13. That was a temptation. Verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Verse 14. Forgive me, I'm flesh and I'm mortal. And he taught in all their synagogues, being glorified of them. Verse 16, he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. That was the Jewish Sabbath. That was Saturday. And he stood up for to read. You know, Christ didn't need to read. He's the living Word of God. He read for the purpose of God, for the sake of those Jews who were not his, that they would hear the very word they'd corrupted, and for the sake of his people, that they'd know that he was the living word of God. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place therein where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the man Jesus Christ, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He's talking about freedom. He's talking about liberty. He's talking about the year of Jubilee and the gospel trumpet, the trumpet of Jubilee being blown, the preaching of the gospel, the preaching in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he closed the book and gave it to the minister, and they were all looking at him, and he told them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now you can read the rest of that, because they got terribly angry at him, those who were in the religious elite sitting there in the synagogue in their self-righteousness and their own glory and power. See a lot of that today. God help us, we're all sinners. Let's go to verse 61 to Isaiah the prophet, chapter 61. I got to move. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is Jesus Christ when he was baptized in the River Jordan. John saw the Spirit of God descending upon him as a dove from heaven. That dove signifies peace. The Holy Spirit, coming down upon him, not in measure as we have received it, but in the fullness of the power of God. If you ever want to doubt the Trinity, you see God in heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased, in whom I am well pleased." You see the Spirit of God between heaven and earth coming down to the man in the water being baptized, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, which became flesh. But my point in the context today is the Spirit of God is upon him. For the purpose of God, because this was the year of Jubilee. This is where our rest comes from. This is where our worship comes from. This is where our freedom comes from. This is where our kingdom comes from. He hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Again, who are the meek? As the wild beast that was tamed and brought into the hand of its master, the child of God, like legion walking through the world and possessed of demons and devils by our very nature, that Christ would cause him to flee and give liberty to the captives. What captives? Isaiah 42. Those that were in the prison house of darkness. And Christ, John chapter 1, the light of God that lights the life of men. The true light driving darkness away. Giving liberty to the sons of God that they might see God, that they might know God. The good tidings unto the meek that God loves you and God has saved you. With an everlasting love and an everlasting salvation. He has sent me. Do you not think God loves you? To bind up the brokenhearted. We could spend a month on that if the Lord would bless. But when you're down and when you're hurt, that song we sing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." When we've lost a loved one, when something bad has happened, it doesn't matter what it is. Does the Lord not comfort? Does the Lord not give grace? Does the Lord not give rest? It's in Jesus who has freed us to proclaim liberty, liberty, freedom to the captives. And the opening of the prison house of darkness, Isaiah 42, to them that are bound. What's the purpose? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Don't tell me I've got to accept the Lord. The Lord has to accept me. And He has. He's changed us. He's loved us. He's died for us and made us holy and without blame before God the Father in love. He hath given us of His Spirit and given us life. He's made us accepted in the Beloved, which is Jesus Christ and the body of Christ, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, AD 70, and what followed, all the way back to Babylon, and God punishing all those who persecuted His children, the foreigners, and those who were evil leaders, unspiritual alike. The day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. I pray every night for those that mourn. If one is mourns, he's born of God. He mourns his sin. He may mourn a loved one, but if he does, it's because he loves them. And I pray every night for those who mourn. Because if we mourn in our body, the only way we're able to mourn is by the Spirit of God, the love that's within us. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, the kingdom, the church, mourning the condition of the church, mourning our Savior without sin, dying for us, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise, the oil of joy, joy in the Spirit. That's bliss. Can you mourn and be joyful? Mourn our sin and joy Christ? That's mournful. That's bliss. The garment, the clothing, clothed with praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, that they, God's people, might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. With a few minutes I've got left, let me give you something to think about. Won't find Romans and Acts. Let me make sure I got my right text now. Ah, 6 and 16 of Romans. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves, your body, servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. Didn't say sin unto hell. There will never be a child of God taste the flame of hell. He's talking about death, and the wages of sin are death. Take it as it's written in context. It's temporal death. Or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants. We were in bondage to sin and death. But ye have obeyed from the heart that God quickens that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Do you realize that you believe because God gives it to you? It's God's work. Being then made free from sin, you are at liberty from the law of sin and death. You're freed from it. You became the servants of righteousness. Chapter 7, Paul speaks of the nature that we fight in this flesh, the sin within us, the law of sin and death. O wretched man that I am, verse 24 of chapter 7, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, who gave us liberty. So then with thy mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation. Don't tell me you can fall away from eternal glory. Christ died for you. Satan can't take you away. The devils in hell can't take you away. Nothing can take you away from God. My sheep are in my hand. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free. Free from the law of sin and death. Let me pass forward real quickly and find where I want to go. The law of sin and death. Christ hath redeemed us from the law of sin and death. We're no longer held captive by sin. We've been released from that. We're at liberty. We have the land of the kingdom. We have the church. We have the preaching of the gospel. The blowing of the trumpet of Jubilee. One day we're going to have to hear that final sound, that final trumpet of Jubilee. When the last trump, the last gospel word is proclaimed, I don't know what it will be, but I know Christ will proclaim it when He comes for His children. And then we will surely know true liberty. But let's finish with a note of us. And I don't have time to get into this. Give me 2 minutes. Paul talks in Galatians about those who bring another gospel, let him be accursed. He said it twice to confirm it, how important that is. We find in Galatians chapter 5 where Paul says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. If someone is under bondage, you've been told you've got to make a choice. Well, you've got to accept. You've got to help the Lord. He's weak and He can't pick it up. He can't bear this cross. God forbid. Let me tell you this just to sum it up. Christ, God in heaven, saved you by His own hand, by His own power. He defeated death. He took you from the bondage of death. He took you from the bondage of Satan. He took you from the bondage of the law of sin and death, of the law itself. He brought you into the precious liberty of the children of God. You're free. You do not have to keep the law. Do not ever try to justify yourself by the law. For if we justify ourselves ourselves by the law, then as we walk in this world, we're judged by the law and have no peace whatsoever. Verse 13, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, pride glorifying yourself for what you've done, but by love serve one another. We're at liberty. No, we're not at liberty to sin. We pay for sins in this world. We're at liberty to serve God. Christ hath redeemed us that we could serve God. By love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in this one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Lord, help me, for I am thou.